Hey, it's Angie Atkinson, and I'm here today with a very special episode. As you know, I write about narcissism, narcissistic abuse recovery, and narcissistic personality disorder pretty regularly, and I have been for about 5 years now. And for the last several months, I've been here on YouTube talking to y'all about it. Well, that's how I met Tracy. Tracy Malone, you might be subscribed to her channel. And if you aren't, just stick around till the end of the video and I'll give you the link. But I want you to listen to this story that I'm about to share with you. It's between Tracy and another person. I don't think you'll believe it. I didn't believe it when I first heard it. When they first reached out to me, of course, I had a meeting scheduled with Tracy. And she was like, "Hey, can we meet this time, talk on Skype?" I'm like, Yeah, we'll talk on Skype." So we got on Skype just a chat. She said, "I want to run something by you." I said, "All right, let me hear it." And so she pops on and she's got another person on with her. And I thought, "What in the world is this?" You guys, wait till you hear what it was. Here we go. Listen to this. Hey guys, it's Angie Atkinson, and I'm here today with Tracy Malone and a special guest. You know Tracy from, what is the name of your channel, Tracy? Is it just Tracy Malone?
Tracy A. Malone.
Tracy A. Malone. She and I have done some, a couple of collabs, I think two so far. Anyway, and we have Lizelle here, and I'm gonna let Lizelle and Tracy tell you who Lizelle is. Tracy, why don't you tell me, introduce your friend here.
Hi there. I am Tracy, and this is Lizelle. Lizelle is my narcissist's next supply. And we have a unique story that we want to share, and Angie's kind enough to have us on to talk about it because we think it is inspirational and it's a really great story. So,
I
have it
could,
with me.
yeah, I could not wait to have them on when they told me their story. I thought, holy crap, I need to have this story on my channel. You guys won't believe this. Okay, go ahead.
So I'll start off with this is my third narcissist in my life, and I had no idea what a narcissist was, but I had been dating a man for about 2.5 years. He lives here in Colorado, and somewhere in the middle, I started noticing patterns on Facebook. I call it face bombing, where he would be, liking everything other people were doing, including her. And I tried to friend her, and his story was she was just some crazy Australian stalker that he'd never met. And it really was upsetting to me because I started to see this pattern, and that's exactly what he had done to me. So he said she didn't want to be my friend, she didn't want to be my friend, and I couldn't understand that. I'm like, if she's your friend, why can't, she be mine?
Right.
And it just really wasn't working out so well. But what I did not know was that they had been dating for 2 years of my 2.5. So that was kind of a surprise, but I didn't find that out. And why don't you tell
Sure.
what?
It's interesting that Tracy uses the word dating. I don't because, I mean, I was seeing and sleeping with him, but not dating. I lived in another country, if you know what I mean. So it was kind of difficult to be dating. However, I was very much told that Tracy was the crazy ex-girlfriend and that she was incredibly jealous of me. How? I don't know because we'd never met, of course. And that she was incredibly jealous of me and that when I got the friend request on Facebook, I asked him, what do I do about this? And he said, "Well, I wouldn't befriend your ex. Why would you befriend mine?" And so it was very clear to me that, well, maybe this is not a good thing. I'm not going to. And naturally, I wanted to please him, adored him. And so, and I didn't. So I didn't. So I had no contact with Tracy at all. No words at all.
So let me just point something out here. So as it is, as often happens when it came to the narcissist, you actually were told the same thing. Probably Tracy was told the same thing about some other ex. Well, obviously you were told similar things about each other. She's just a crazy stalker. She's just a crazy ex-girlfriend. So when you think about that, that's such a common issue that victims and survivors go through. Okay, I would like you to continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's actually triangulation, as I
Yes.
learned later, was you know, keep her away from her, because then she won't find out the real story that they've been together. Mm-hmm. And she'd been to the United States 3 times already. And, you know, a relationship had developed. So yeah, that triangulation piece is really key to both of us, because you can see how he isolated me from her.
Yes.
And her from me, and as well his ex-wife. And eventually, in December, when I found out that he had been sleeping with yet another friend of mine, or a mutual acquaintance, let's say. So I didn't have her phone number, but we went to Christmas dinners for years together.
Yeah.
So I found that out, and I wanted nothing to do with him. I was like, that was the biggest betrayal, because one of the things that he mirrored back to me was my concern that we were exclusive. Every single time he came over, he would say that we're exclusive, and I'd be like, why do you have to keep saying that? You were just here on Wednesday. Why repeat that? He's like, I want you to feel secure. I want you to feel safe and know that you're the only one. Mm-hmm. So I did. I felt safe, right? But now I found out about door number 2, and she's door number 3, but really not in that order. But he came back hoovering all through January, February, and I wasn't ready. I was very angry and very betrayed because of that statement that he repeated over and over. And on the last day of February this year, I'm not even really sure why I decided this was the day. I knew that we had a party a few weeks later, and I had seen that she was in town, and I actually sent her a text through Messenger on Facebook, mm-hmm. and said, welcome to Colorado. I'm pretty sure you're going to sleep with him, but beware, because he is a disease-carrying liar. And of course, she didn't answer it. But I just wanted to clear my chest and just say, yeah, be careful, because it's like a girl thing, like just boom.
Right.
And I just didn't want that. So I came to his house on that fateful day in February, and he wasn't home yet. Talked to his son. And when he arrived home, he parked his car on the road as I was in the driveway. I didn't know she was in the car. And he started baiting me, and I was just saying, I'm here to forgive you. We're going to see a party next week. I want to meet her. Let's all be friends. It's all good. And he just baited me and really was quite opposite of what I expected from someone that I had been with.
Let me say something. So you and Lizelle, up to this point, you haven't met. And up to this point, you are still... And Tracy, I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, I believe that when you went to reach out to her on Facebook, your intentions were purely to prevent her, is that correct, from hurting herself or from being hurt herself. And I think that's what we all, not all of us, but a lot of us who try to reach out to our narcissist's new supply or other supply, at this point you didn't know she had been around as long as she had. So as far as you could see, that was his new supply. And so I think that all of us have the intention, or most of us have the intention of being able to go, I'm doing this for genuine reasons. I really don't want this man back, but I really want this woman to not be hurt, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it really was so important to me. And I had done this with the other girl that I found out about in December. Mm-hmm. I called her up and I'm like, I don't care if this ruins our friendship or, you know, acquaintanceship, or it ruins our mutual friends. I don't care. You need to be checked. You need to be careful. And she was really grateful. And, you know, it opened up a dialogue and we both healed a little bit from that. So that was really an important step to me to say, okay, I did what was right. And I think I can make sure, again, knowing she'd be in the love bombing stage, thinking this was the first time she was meeting him.
Right.
I didn't expect anything to evolve the way that it did that day.
But it was quite a story, wasn't it? Wait, let's pause before we get to that. And Lizelle, let's tell, what were you thinking and feeling that day before the incident that we're going to talk
about?
Well,
it was really interesting because, you know, when I received that message, it sort of hurt me because I thought, my goodness, I'm being told that that message also stipulated that he had slept, Tracy stipulated that she had slept with him in December.
Right.
I was blown away. And so I read it thinking it was a lie.
Of course. I
showed him first. I said, what's this, you know? And he said, again, it was the crazy ex thing. I can't believe she's contacted you. Mm-hmm. And I said, but is that true? Did you sleep with her? in December. And he said, yes, it was just one, and it was totally because she was so pushy with it, and she pushed me into it, and it was all, you know, it was, she knew it was only going to be that one time. And
Tracy, you mix it.
And of course, there were tears involved.
Right, sorry.
Not my tears, you know, there were my tears too, but there were his tears as he was, you know, telling me this story of how, you know, of how, and so of course I looked at it and thought, and again, it was a massive turning point for me, in the sense of going, and it came to a bit of a crossroads, because I thought to myself, you know, I love and adore this man. Mm-hmm. I love and adore this man. I also live very far away. I can understand how there would be an indiscretion. I mean, hello, you know, people have physical needs. And I thought, well, you know, if this person was with, you know, was in the vicinity, and they were able to, you know, have that connection, and it was just a one-time thing, I can understand that. I was very upset. I won't say I wasn't. I was very, very upset.
But you were willing to accept it, maybe because you did want him still. And
yes. But totally. Totally.
And in other situations, you probably would have been like, get the hell out of here, right? In previous relationships?
Yeah. Especially because that has happened to me before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have been cheated on before. So for me, that's a big, I don't think so.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
So it put me into a really funny little place, you know, going, do I or don't I? Do I or don't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an ugly thing. So when... Before, okay, so after we got to this point where it's this day, it's the big day. So what was happening that morning for you, Lizelle?
You know, not a lot. We were just going about daily business.
Right.
In fact, we were out in that before we came and Tracy was at the house, mm-hmm. we were picking up wine for dinner and, you know, grocery shopping and getting things, you know, for a cheese platter for Pete's sake, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just a normal thing. We had, I was going to be in the country. I had planned to be here for a month. So, you know, it was towards the end of the stay. I'd come away from some lovely getaways together and things like that. So just normal life.
Yeah.
Normal life.
Now, one thing that we should know about Lizelle is that she is an intuitive.
Yes.
And so she had intuition from Australia about what was happening here in Colorado. She should probably tell us about that and his reaction to her feeling our connection.
I'm interested in that because
totally. So there were two aspects of me picking up a couple of things. The first was that I felt like, you know, he would say certain things, like, or I would see the occasional picture of them together, and yet there was the implication that they never saw each other or weren't together, or, you know, this kind of thing. And then the second aspect to this was I was noticing what Tracy described earlier. He was, there was a woman that was on Facebook liking everything he did, and if I would happen to be in it, then, you know, she wouldn't respond. And I asked the question, I said, who is this person? You know, just who is this person? And, you know, just shrugged off as, and I was told I was jealous, of course. And,
of course.
You know, said I was completely insecure and jealous, and the avoidance of, you know, of answering that question directly when I did ask what that was about. But certainly, yes, I had picked up a couple of times that something wasn't making sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, and to his credit, incredibly charming, and every time he had a, you know, a very plausible answer. So I just accepted it.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. We had like 400 geese fly by.
Woo. Okay. Well,
it's migration time.
Oh yeah. Makes sense. So I think that, you know, Lizelle, what you're saying, I think that's what a lot of people go through when they're in the position of, you know, either being a, I guess Tracy was 6 months longer, I guess, or something. Is that what I understood? And I'm sure that may have also overlapped that other 6 months at some point with someone. And that's the thing that's terrible about these people, is that you are both intelligent, beautiful women. And this is what I think people need to understand, is that both of you are successful. Both of you are people who are incredibly intelligent, incredibly attractive. You have your life going on, obviously. And then here you are, being manipulated by a stupid narcissist. And it's not a stupid narcissist, a narcissist.
Oh, no, he's stupid.
Right. But I think...
You keep up this. I mean, come on.
Exactly. And I think this is the thing, is that, you know, I also have been manipulated by a narcissist, and I think a lot of other women have, and men, and they're sitting there going, how could this happen? They're so angry at themselves. How did you guys get through the anger part? Are you still angry? Are you getting through it?
I don't think I'm angry. No, I must say, for me, I'm not angry. And part of my healing has been the fact that Tracy has shown up in my life and filled in so many
For
blanks,
sure.
so many blanks. And those blanks have reassured me, because at my core, I know I'm okay. But she reassured me that it wasn't me.
Right, which is very good. Yes.
And don't get me wrong, that's not taking responsibility for the normal give and take in any kind of relationship.
Right. Certainly not.
But it was just that sense of, I had that sense of, what have I done wrong? What did I do wrong? And because I have no notion of what a narcissist is. Truly, I do not. The definition, if you will. I know what it is now,
Of course.
but I don't know what that definition, I had no notion
Up
of what
that
that
point.
was.
Right. Okay. Are you ready to tell the big story?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it leads in with your question about the anger.
Yes.
And I think I experienced the most anger I'd ever had from that December finding out about the other person than I've ever experienced in my life. It was something inside of me. It wouldn't let me sleep. I went to counseling. I sought out a domestic abuse counseling in our town, and everything that I could find to like latch on and try to pull myself out of that hole. Church, and the day before this event we're going to talk about, we had had a meeting at church, and it was on fear and forgiveness. So it all was like coming into place, going, all right, I'm going to forgive him. I don't want him. It's not, I've never been a crazy ex. I wanted him to be happy. Get on with your life.
Right,
Bye-bye.
right.
So that day I landed in his driveway, and he baited me. And when we sort of walked out of the garage, he pointed to his car and showed me she was sitting in the car. So almost to kind of bait him back, I was like, well, good, I'll go meet her. And I went traveling over to the car, and he kind of blocked me. And I was like, hi. And then I was sitting at the car, just like, hi,
I
I'm Tracy.
love
And
you.
she's inside, and she's just like, okay, what's going on, crazy
Sure.
ex? What's going on?
Sure.
And then I tried to open the door of the car, going, hi, just want to meet you. That was probably a bad thing, definitely a mistake. But he then started to ask me to leave. And I was like, fine, I'm leaving. And he started to dial 911. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I went to turn the phone off. I'm like, I'm leaving. You don't have to call. But he called, and I didn't turn the phone off. And I got in my car and I backed out. And I will tell you, yes, when I hit the road, I floored it because I wanted the hell away from there.
Been there.
That's, I mean, that's just a natural reaction.
Sure.
Somebody's angered you, and this is a person you loved. Forget the betrayal before. What the hell are you doing now? All I wanted to do was say hi so that when we're at the party next week, it's not weird, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
So I ended up getting home and finding out, because the police knocked on my door, that he was pressing charges for trespassing. And as well, when you're in Colorado, he pressed, when you have been in a relationship with someone, it becomes domestic abuse. So I am now domestic abuse and trespassing. And because I pulled away fast, he said I scared him. And for the life of his passenger, couldn't even call her his girlfriend,
Of course.
for the life of his passenger and his son who was in the house, they charged me with reckless endangerment.
And didn't they did what ha did they just like come to your door and say, hey, you have these charges? Or what did they do?
I talked to them. I actually drove to my police station from his house and talked to the other woman, the December girl, all the way there, going, "Oh my God, you're not gonna believe what just happened." And I went into my police station, and I'm like crying, and I'm like, "I don't know what just happened." And they're like, "Well, he already called the police here," and they connected me to the phone to talk to them, and they just said, we need your statement, ma'am, for trespassing. They didn't tell me about the other charges. And then they came to my door, and I let them in. It was cold out. And they said, fine, and we were going to arrest you. And they put handcuffs on me. They I was in sweatpants. They let me change, but they followed me into my closet to, you know, make sure I changed and didn't pull a weapon or something. It was really like the weirdest, bizarre thing. Here I am, a business professional, you know, I never did anything wrong in my life, and I'm being arrested in my house. So that was like horrible. And I spent 24 hours in jail.
Yeah. And it's a huge, it's a horror story. It really is. I mean, you know, I say it's such a good story. Well, it's really not a good story. It's a horrible story, but it's a story that people need to hear, because this is a perfect example of how a narcissist can really destroy your life. I mean, what if you were a person who, you know, you were in, I don't know, daycare, or old people care or something, and you, I shouldn't have said old people, but you know, elder care, whatever. I mean, I'm old people, but you know what I'm saying? Like people who they require you. What if you were a teacher? You know, they check you, they do background checks. It could literally ruin your life. And, and not to mention the devastation and the trauma that you go through when you're arrested. I mean, personally, I've never had a detention, but something a few years ago caused me, which what it all comes down to, just between you and me, is that I sold a house, and the person who moved or who bought the house was a contractor, and they ended up not filling out the occupancy permit, and so they parked an unlicensed vehicle in the driveway. I got a ticket in the mail while I was pregnant, called up the police, said, da da da, this is not my house anymore. Here's the phone number and the name of the person. And then the police said, oh yeah, we'll take care of it, we'll handle it. And then of course they didn't. And so that Mother's Day that followed, when my baby was a little baby and I was nursing him and everything else, that was the first day my husband ever gave my child formula when he was 5 months old, because they literally arrested me when they pulled me over. They found, the officer never put the ticket, or never undid the ticket. And so when I didn't go to court, they just issued a warrant for my arrest, and some other municipality arrested me, and I was incredibly traumatized. And I mean, and I was only there for like 3 hours. I thought, yeah, you know, so for 24, all right, go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
That's okay. So, so it was probably, it was the lowest point of my entire life. I sat there in a jail cell thinking, you know, I grew up in, you know, Westport, Connecticut, and Martha Stewart was like my family friend. I'm like, how does this happen? Oh, that's right. Wait, she was in jail.
Right. But that was literally, Martha Stewart was literally your family friend, right?
Literally, like dinners at my house.
Actual, yes. Martha Stewart, y'all. Okay, go on.
So I was like, how could this be happening? And it was horrible. It's lots of details, but it was a terrible 24 hours. And my employee came to bail me out, and that was humiliating. Mm-hmm. And it has ended up being about a $10,000 mistake to be in that driveway. And he did other things that we'll reveal on our farther video, but it was horrific. I have a restraining order on him, mm-hmm. and there was a restraining order on her that she didn't even know about because she went back to Australia.
Right. And this is the thing, is that, so now, are you saying that you are restrained from him, or he is restrained from you now?
I am restrained from
him. That's what I thought. Okay.
So I didn't go out for about 2 months. I literally lived in fear, mm-hmm. because we have the same circle of friends.
Right.
I, you know, would go to meetups, and he was actually like responding to meetups that I was leading. And then I couldn't go to a meetup because I was like, well, if he comes, I can go to jail. Horrific.
I bet.
I'm also in a domestic violence class for 6 months. Community service, fines, and all kinds of things that shock me.
This is why we need to work on the laws in this country, because here you are being further abused by the system because of his manipulation and bullshit. Pardon my language, but let's be real here, okay? Our justice system is continuing to abuse you because, you know, it's outrageous and it's unacceptable, and we have to do something. We have to make a change. All right. Let's move on really quick. Lizelle, so what did you think that day when Tracy's standing there trying to open the car door and tell you hello? How did you feel? Were you scared?
You know, not scared, because I was not intimidated by Tracy, but I didn't want to talk to her.
Well, of course not.
I'm just one of those people in general in my life that I try to avoid drama. And so this for me looked like high drama. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what I did think, though. I wondered why she was angry.
Yeah.
I wondered why she was angry. There was a point when they were in the driveway, because I didn't hear the conversation the whole way through. And I could see by the time she was leaving, I was going, why is she so angry? If she's an ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. why is she so cross today?
Right.
You know, I don't understand this.
Right.
And that was my question to him as well. I don't understand why Tracy would be so upset that I am here.
And he was,
if she's an ex-girlfriend, you know, I understand that that's hurtful.
Right.
Why is she so angry? And that was a big thing for me. It was a ding, ding, ding. Something's not making sense here.
And that
you
was
know?
Your intuition kicking in. And,
oh, totally.
And I think
yes.
that's, we all have a certain amount of intuition naturally, male, female, everybody. And I think we can all tap into it. And I think that's something that obviously you, as someone who is an intuitive professionally, you know, obviously
yes.
tapped in as well. Okay, go on, carry on. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, so that was, it was an interesting thing for me. And also what really blew me away was the fact that the police did show up so very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to the policeman, oh, my God, this is the first statement I've ever, police statement I've ever filled in my life. And he said, welcome to America, ma'am. And I was like, well, okay. so, and then, you know, it was just such an unusual evening because all along, I think the fella even downloaded the app onto his phone to see the process of where you were in the justice system, so to speak. So we knew that she hadn't been released yet, or now she was released, or whatever. And it was interesting because we were both sort of stunned. We were just like, I just sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this just happened. Because, and the fact that they had arrived so quickly, and you know, and we knew that she'd been arrested and all, it seemed so disproportionate to the events that have played out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I do know. I remember hearing him say, you know, I would like you to leave now. But this was already when it was outside of the house
right.
and not in the house anymore. I heard nothing that was going on inside.
Of course, yeah. And it's
yeah.
Go ahead, Tracy.
I did find out after the December. I talked to his ex-wife,
mm-hmm.
and he had had her arrested a month before.
Are you kidding? Oh, what
yeah.
a. They have to see this. They have to look at this and go, okay, ex-wife arrested, ex-girlfriend arrested. This is outrageous.
I know, but they didn't. They just didn't care.
They're like, that poor guy. Let's take care of that poor guy. Come on. All right.
The victim. Whoever calls is the victim. So my advice to anybody in a narcissistic relationship, if the person scares you, if they, you know, hurt you, beat you, you have the power. And as I learned, he is the victim and I am the perpetrator, and they will listen to the victim. So if there's any doubt, I think, I don't know if it's great advice to, you know, tell our listeners that it's a kind of good idea. If you're scared and threatened in any way, call the police, because once you're the perpetrator, you have no rights at all.
Right. And that's a horrible place. This is again why we, I think, whoa. Sorry. That's again why I think we need to get our laws, you know, more in line with actual life. Because like you said, whoever calls first, and in this case, this guy's obviously done it before. He'll probably do it again to somebody else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because he knows it's a working tool.
Exactly.
It's a really good one. Men will never talk.
There has to be a way that they can connect to those things. I mean, and not just in his case. I mean, obviously not every narcissist calls the cops, you know. But they do. And like you said.
Yeah, I'm in the domestic violence class, and I think I'm in about 4 or 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankfully almost done. But I have to meet every week. I have to pay for it every week. And there's been about 12 girls in it,
mm-hmm.
that have come, and new ones in, new ones out. And some of them are there because they spit on their boyfriend's car. Some of them were beaten many, many times, and the one time they slapped him back, they got arrested. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and that's exactly why we have to, like you said, I think if somebody hits you one time, that's too many times. If somebody physically assaults you, it's too many times. You know, it's hard to call the police and say, you know, he's emotionally abusing me, because, you know, they're going to tell you, well, then leave, you know, or whatever. And we, right. And we all know it's not always that simple. You know, whether you have kids together or you don't, you still have, you know, you may have a life together, you may have a home together, you may have bills together, et cetera, et cetera. It's complicated, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, and then the feelings and all the stuff. But so at what moment, so at that day, you did not technically meet each other. You just saw each other. And at what moment did you meet? I'm gonna let Lizelle start this part.
I think she should.
Yes.
Sure. So So probably about 2 months ago now, I was very unceremoniously dumped via text by this man, a man that I'd spoken to every day for I don't know how long, but, you know, for years, unceremoniously dumped via Facebook Messenger text, and told that, and I had planned a trip out here. I was planning on being here for this workshop that I'm now, you know, just facilitated. Mm-hmm. And he, it was, had been his idea. And he had also, you know, bought concert tickets, you know, and all kinds of things, and said, you know, sweeten the deal, come over. What are we doing the next time that you're here? But then get this, you know, text saying, you're out of here. I found someone new.
Right.
Just so happens to be the same person I had asked him about, you know, months before, mm-hmm. that he had expressed me and told me I was, you know, I was jealous and the whole deal.
Right.
Anyway, I had a very strong notion that it was interesting because it was a little while later. I had a really strong notion, and it's not something I would typically do, but I felt like I needed to talk to Tracy. Mm-hmm. However, I knew there was a restraining order. There was a restraining order, right, between us. So I contacted the Boulder district, the district attorney, mm-hmm. here, and by email, and I said that I was coming out and that we had friends in common, and there were many events that I was hoping to attend and whatever, mm-hmm. and I would like to have the restraining order dropped.
Right.
And it happened within days. So once that happened, we then got in contact and we started talking,
okay,
via Skype, mm-hmm. which was about, you know, whatever amount of time it was ago now, weeks ago, mm-hmm. And so then we met in the flesh, so to speak, about 2 weeks ago.
And she's staying here with me, and we are having the best time talking till 2 a.m. The weird thing is that the first thing when she came in, I said, would you like a glass of wine? What happened?
Oh, yes. We have the same wine glasses, and we have the same crockery, and it looks slightly different in color, and we have the same rugs, and we have very similar taste in a lot of, you know, home decor.
Isn't that interesting?
It was fabulous.
We had the same age children. Her mother died last year. My mother died last year. He helped her through that. He helped me through it. Very strange similarities.
Parallels, yeah. Very interesting. And I said, I noted the other day, you guys even have similar facial structure with your bone structure. I mean, it's very interesting. That man has a type, obviously.
But, not really.
Oh, no?
Oh, no. We thought so.
We thought so.
Now we're like, oh, there goes the big boob theory.
Aw. He's got a flat chester now?
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe he thought.
That's the one we know about. I'm sure there's 5 others to, right, balance it out.
Well, I bet you're glad you're not there anymore.
So glad.
So you guys are now like hanging out, doing your thing, and you're looking forward to something exciting that you're going to do with Tracy's channel in the very near future. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I started making a narcissist video right after I started learning about this, after the arrest. Mm-hmm. Someone just referred me to something on, you know, YouTube, and I went to YouTube University, and I would drive my car and plug in and listen and go, okay, what's that? Mm-hmm. And then I would like, okay, divorcing the narcissist. Oh my God, that was my ex-husband too. Well, why me? Oh my God, my mother. Oh gosh, so much I didn't know. And as I learned, then I started making the videos. Mm-hmm. And what we're planning now is to make one together to tell our story, because we don't know that it's really the best advice for people to go and try to approach the next supply.
And I don't think it is, if you consider what she said about when you first contacted her.
Of course. Yeah. But it planted the seed in her mind.
Yes.
And when she started to have more intuition about things bad or listening to his lies, mm-hmm. it kind of came back to her, and it was enough for, you know, yeah, us to both get closure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think beyond that as well, you know, Tracy and I have been so focused on, you know, we've been in the bitching phase, and we've been in the anger phase,
sure,
and we've done all of that. And so what we would like to get from this is to see, firstly, our own personal development and growth and healing, but also then, I guess, and for both of us, we have this real passion to empower other people. And when I say that, I mean in the most gentle and beautiful and loving way.
Of course.
For them to empower themselves. Mm-hmm. and
get out of victim
and yeah. not be in victim mode and start taking really good care of yourself and setting beautiful boundaries and recognizing signs that, you know, otherwise you would be oblivious to. So I think that's the twofold part of that, is being able to share a fantastic story, which we've only really touched the tip of the iceberg. There's so many other things here that
I know.
I'm
really excited to see the Yeah, it's
and for me, it's a fabulous story, and a dear friend of mine said, "Giselle, you teach from the story," and we have a fabulous story, and that is why we're not victims, and we're gonna make a good thing out of this, you know.
I think that is the best thing you could possibly do. I'm so excited for you guys, and I think that what you're doing is gonna help to bring awareness to this issue. This is an issue that it's underserved in you know. As far as obviously with the law, the laws are completely outrageous in this country about it, because they don't recognize it really. I mean, you know, they say, oh, emotional abuse, blah, blah, blah. But there's really no way to prove it when a narcissist is standing there acting, you know, with a halo all shiny and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, I think this is really going to be an excellent film. I'm very excited, and I want to try to help you promote it. So I want, Tracy, I want you to tell me, what's your ETA? When do you think, how long do you think it'll be until you're ready to release it?
We're going to plan it in the next day or so and start to record it. Her son back in Australia is a filmmaker.
Oh, that's so right.
He's going to splice it together and kind of make it fun for us.
It's
going to
be really good.
Yeah.
Feature film.
And we picture this as a lifetime movie, really.
That is, you know, I thought the same thing. The first time I heard you talk about it, I thought the same thing. I think there's a story here. Yeah.
Yeah. Oprah Winfrey. I mean,
Hello.
Come on, Oprah.
Oprah. don't forget me. Oh, hey, listen, I just want to say, though, seriously, the way that you guys are healing together is beautiful and amazing. And I wonder if there's a way that we could encourage people who, unfortunately, we need to wait till everybody's an ex. Because, you know, we can't expect anyone in a love bombing phase to understand a person who's been there and done that, right? So, but, you know, I talked to the third ex-wife of my ex-husband. I was the first also. And we have things in common as well and have become good friends. And I think, you know, we joke and we say that's our ex-husband. But, you know, I find that fascinating and funny. Hilarious, actually. But for me, I've got years of healing under my belt, obviously. And you all are still fresh from this pain, and I think that your story, because you're still so fresh. I mean, I forgot to ask you, Tracy. I got distracted by something. But when you first, when she called you, when Lizelle called you, what went through your head, and what did you think?
Well, first I was panicked.
Well, sure.
That it was a spy tactic for him.
Sure.
Like, because I didn't know yet that the restraining order was in place.
Right.
It was actually just a few days later that I got the official email from the court system. And I'm like, I can't talk to you.
Right.
And she explained that she'd done that process already and opened up that for us to talk.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how it would go. I certainly didn't. She'd be, you know, here in my house drinking wine. And, you know,
right.
Like, I didn't ever expect that.
Right.
I never expected this friendship and this bond
yeah.
that we clearly jumped onto immediately. So, I didn't know what to expect it, and then I didn't know that what to do with it. But just talking, it became really clear that, you know, I saw her. She was so sad when I first talked to her because she'd been upset and crying. We all freaking cry. And the next time we talked, she said, tell her what happened after we first talked. Was that your feeling?
Oh, it was as though somebody had just turned a little light bulb on for me, and it felt like that intense pain that I'd been feeling for so many days. You know, and even in the lead up to it, that sense of not knowing what was right, something wasn't right, this niggling, horrible feeling. And after speaking to Tracy, it was like a magic wand had been just waved over me, and that pain just dissipated. It then turned into a much better thing, which was the anger thing, because that was a step up the emotional scale, you know, because, you know, above anger, then you get hope and all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
So it was wonderful how that, you know, I could feel that pain just go.
Yeah.
And move into the next phase. And so for me, it was a life-changing thing.
Yeah.
And again, we have so much more to talk about there as well, because this woman saved my life on a physical level as well. So
yes, and that's something that I think, if you don't mind, do you mind telling just a little bit of that story? I know you don't want to give all your details right now, but
sure.
Yeah. So I had spoken after the December incident with both the other girl and the ex-wife. First, the ex-wife told me, oh, well, you should get STD tested because he has HPV. He gave it to me. It's in the divorce papers. And please get checked. And so I disclosed this to the other woman, and she ended up having it. And that was very bad. And so when we first talked, I asked her, had she gotten checked? And her doctor had done the normal tests you do on someone our age,
right,
you know, regular AIDS and all that sort of thing, but not the HPV.
So I specifically then went in again and asked for that test to be done, you know, just expanding the situation a little bit. And as it turned out, I had the high-risk HPV, but in addition to that, because I had a cervical lesion, there were precancerous cells that had to be burnt off my cervix, which I still have. I still have to go back for treatment for as well when I go back to Australia. And the gynecologist made it very clear to me that had he left that another couple of months, you know, he couldn't say that it would have been a very good thing for me as well. So I think that was part of my anger was, you know, there was one thing about lying, but there's quite another about endangering somebody's life deliberately.
Absolutely.
And so that was just mind-blowing to me, you know, that somebody who, you know, supposedly cared or loved you, you know, would do such a thing. And
I think that's something that people need to listen to, that people need to hear that and understand that, you know, if your man's ex reaches out to you or your woman's ex reaches out to you and says, this person has a disease, even if you don't believe them, go to the doctor and get checked, because it can't hurt. And it could literally save your life. All right.
It really can. And you know, when people are sleeping around as much as he was, clearly he had it from his ex-wife. He gave it to his ex-wife, and it's been a pattern.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I don't know how I dodged that bullet. I'm pretty grateful at the moment, but they're keeping a very close eye on me because it can develop.
Yeah.
So.
And it's one of those situations. And this is what it all comes down to, I think, is that you two have sort of managed to, I think, defy the odds almost. You have managed to go beyond the bullshit that he put between you and break that barrier down. And now you're friends and you're going to do this project together. And I think it's just,
yes.
It's beautiful to me. I love it so much because really that's who you should be connecting with, is someone who really gets you and understands literally almost exactly where you've been, you know. And
yes.
And for you two to overcome, you know, the moment where... the thing that happened, the incident, you know, I mean, that with you coming to the car and her, you know, personally, I would be nervous myself if that were me in the car. But I also understand Tracy's side of it because I would be pissed off, you know, if I were her. I mean, come on.
I was like, why can't I meet her?
What
is
the problem?
That's crazy. Crazy. Why?
Because it
like,
needed.
Congratulations.
He needed you to act crazy for her so that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And that's why he pushed me. He baited
yes.
me. I wasn't angry. He actually recorded the entire conversation. Who walks into their garage with a recording device on when it's someone that they, you know, have been with all these years?
Yeah.
I'm like, what did you think I was going to say? But as he baited me, he inflamed me.
Yeah.
And that's what he got. And
this is why we have to be careful not to react to them when, and because we've all done it, I've done it. I'm sure you've all done it, but I know, you know, everybody's done it. And I think it's so easy for us to just react. And then they retaliate because you reacted to their abuse and then you're in trouble for reacting. It's horrible. Okay. All right. I think let me check our time here. Yep. Oh yeah, we're over time. Okay. So ladies, I know that you have a lot of work to do on your video, on your new movie that you're putting together, and I'm so excited to see it. I can't wait. So I just want to say, if you guys haven't yet subscribed to Tracy's channel, there's going to be a link for you right over there. Pick it up. Subscribe to Tracy's channel. All right. And just so this way you'll be notified whenever the movie comes out, which will be sometime maybe this week or next week, you think?
Yep, definitely.
So exciting. Yep. So you guys subscribe. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Any final words that you'd like to share with everybody before we close up for today?
I think that we just have to remember that we can heal.
Yes.
And I love your support forum. The SPAM Facebook group has been a lifesaver for me. And I know that when I post things and I'm feeling deeply, because we go in waves, right? We mm-hmm. sometimes just get that, oh God.
Yeah.
And you put up your feelings and you open up to this community that is unlike your friends.
Right.
Your friends don't understand.
That's right.
So to post your community and have people that, oh, that exact same thing happened to me, it validates you so much.
Certainly.
So don't think that you're alone. This is so common, and it's an epidemic, really.
It is. Yeah.
Together we will heal.
Yes, I think so too. Lizelle, any last final words for today's video?
Just one little thought.
Mm-hmm.
A good way to test whether you're the only person in your man's life mm-hmm. is just to tag him on a Facebook picture, right? If anybody goes, oh my God, I don't want you to tag me, I would consider that one massive red.
That is an excellent point. Thank you. I love that. Thank you. That is great. Yes. Yay! Okay, you guys. I'm so happy that you came and did this with me today. I am so looking forward to your movie. Can't wait. We'll help you promote it. Look, goosebumps just thinking about it. Okay. So I love you both. You're amazing, and I'm so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks, honey.
All right, honey. See ya. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Do you believe that stuff? I couldn't believe it. I was so happy when they agreed to come on my channel. So, like I said, make sure that you go ahead and you subscribe to Tracy's channel if you haven't yet, plus my channel if you haven't yet, and be sure to catch that movie when it comes out. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. So, talk to you guys soon. I will be back later with another video. Have a great day. And hey, thanks for letting me be part of your life and a little part of your recovery today. Hugs and love.